Today on Real Life Radio.
Those who follow Jesus, that's how they live. I have never met a real Christian who says, well, I love Jesus, I love God, but I can't stand that person over there. That's impossible. You may think that, but you won't think it for long. Can we not admit this morning that God will take our heart to the woodshed on that? He'll spank us.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 1. You know, this series, The Gospel of Luke, is a series that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, who was a physician, could do. Here, as we continue in chapter 6, Luke tells us that the ministry of Jesus was the very spirit of a hands-on ministry. You see, Jesus by trade was a carpenter and an apprentice of his earthly father, Joseph. And of course, an apprentice is one who observes and watches and practices everything that he sees the journeyman or the master doing. When it comes to ministry, Jesus taught us that his place is that of the master, and we are his apprentices in the things of God. So today on this part of the message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that those who follow Jesus can see clearly now. We can see who we really are when we take a proper look at ourselves. When we're humble and right before God, his truth will open up before us. Now in his message called Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
He says, forgive, and that word means now. Forgive them now, and you will be forgiven. How can I not forgive you? How can you not forgive me? Are we not Christians today? Then listen, you have to love me. And if you love me, you have to forgive me. You say, well, I don't like you. I didn't ask you if you liked me. If you're a Christian, you have to love me. And if I come and I say, will you please forgive me? Guess what? You have to forgive me. And I have to forgive you. Those who follow Jesus, that's how they live. I have never met a real Christian who says, well, I love Jesus, I love God, but I can't stand that person over there. That's impossible. You may think that, but you won't think it for long. Can we not admit this morning that God will take our heart to the woodshed on that? He'll spank us because we're to love even our enemies, as we've been learning in our previous studies. But being liberated from being bitter, bitterness. Jesus says, forgive. If you don't forgive somebody, you're going to get bitter. And this is a characteristic of those who know Jesus. An authentic Christian is a forgiving person. How can that be true, Jack? How can that really happen? Are you ready for this? Because we've been forgiven. Have we forgotten? Can you imagine for a moment? We have followed you around this week. We've been following your car, and we've had a secret camera hidden out in front of your house. We put a microphone in the windows of your house. And we're going to play that right now. Can you imagine? Jack, you got to be kidding. You're kidding, right? You're just joking, right? We started laughing a moment ago. A little nervous laughter. That would be fun to do, though, wouldn't it? Reality TV. A hidden camera. True Christians caught on tape. You know? Think about it. You say, Jack, I don't like that. You're scaring me. That's exactly what I'm talking about. Because the truth of the matter is, in my life as a believer, if God is at work in my life, everything that I have ever done, I not only want to be forgiven of, I don't even want God to remember. Doesn't the Bible say that God, he says, I will not remember your iniquities anymore? Isn't it great that he says, I will take your sins, and as far as the east is from the west, that's how far I'll separate them. By the way, those two never meet. And by the way, I will take your sins and cast them into the depths of the sea. Now that used to make me nervous, because I used to think, well, maybe they could be caught by some fisherman. God throws the sins of ours in the depths of the sea and then puts a sign up, no fishing here. Never to be remembered. God does that. Aren't you glad? Have you forgotten? Have you forgotten what you did when you were 16? What about when you were 21? What about on that trip when everybody thought you were going to Sacramento and you went to Vegas instead? But stays in Vegas, stays, you know. That's a bunch of baloney. Nothing happens in Vegas that which God knows. He writes it down. Nobody knows. Some friends, we're going to go to Vegas. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. And it's also recorded in heaven. You say, okay, I get your point. My point is this. Haven't you and I been forgiven of a huge amount? So when somebody sins against us, how dare I withhold forgiveness toward them? Jesus says, forgive and you shall be forgiven. How about this? God would say, I've forgiven you so much. Can't you at least forgive that person that's hurt you? You hurt me, Jack, and I'm God Almighty. I'm perfect. You can imagine how much that hurt me? I'm holy. Can't you forgive someone else who's a fellow human if I was willing to forgive you? I like that. Also, under this, thirdly, under this point, those who follow Jesus have been liberated, liberated from selfishness or from being selfish. Look what he says in verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over will be poured back into your bosom, into your chest. I'll explain that in a moment. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you. Circle the word chest. Some of your Bibles have chest, breast, or bosom. Doesn't matter. In Jesus' day, the robes, your overcoat robe, had what we would say is a pocket. We have pockets on our hips now. They had certain kind of robes that had an opening and it was a pocket in the front. It was easy. You know, you've seen cultures that carry things on their head, right? Walk around with a basket on their head. You've seen like the American Indians who had the little, what's it called? Is it a papoose? On the back or in the front? Even today, many women carry the baby in the front. It's healthy for you. That's the same kind of concept. Jesus says, you give, and it's going to come back to you, and you won't even be able to contain it in your bosom. I mean, you're going to be carrying in your gigantic pocket that's in your robe. You're going to be looking like a pregnant elephant or something, walking around, carrying the blessings. See, Jack, what is he talking about? First of all, jot it down if you would. Verse 38, those who follow Jesus have been liberated from being selfish in this area of worship. My friend, there's a direct correlation to if you're forgiven to your passion and worship. And I'm not saying that you're going to run around here and swing from the chandeliers that we don't have. I'm not saying that you're going to run around or roll around on the carpet and hurt somebody. I'm not talking about that. All of us express worship in different ways. I think that blesses the heart of God. Some of you lift your hands. Some of you wouldn't think about it. Some of you stand. Some of you sit. Some of you want to kneel. Some of you do. God bless you. When he says give, this is a call to worship. He's saying, what way? Answer, every way. And look, I didn't take the time to write these things down because I was overwhelmed with just the thought. When God challenged me in this study for today on putting that together, what does this call to worship mean to give? You can't number it. Time, money, attention, energy, your vitality, what you own, car, yard, house, clothes, rings, watch, boat, shoes, name it, whatever you can, it never stops. Job put it perfectly. Naked I've come and naked I go. But what? Blessed be the name of the Lord. True worship. It doesn't matter if I have clothes on or not. It all belongs to God. It's his. Blessed be the name of God. That's the life of the believer. When Jesus said give, what does he mean? What does he mean? We need to study that or not study it. What is he talking about? And we're terrified in our culture to think of what it might mean, aren't we? In our little world, we think immediately money. Answer, it is true. Jesus is speaking about money. He's also speaking about your time. I don't know about you, but I'd rather spend 10 bucks to give me more time than spend time to get 10 bucks. Is not time in our Western culture the most precious thing in the world? It's so precious. Time, money, all of the above. It's a call to worship. When he says give now, by the way, and it will be given to you, that's the result of worship. It is the result of worship when we give. Give what? Give whatever. Some of you, I saw you this weekend giving time. I thank God, I thank you, Lord, for the families with their children, to the old man who comes in here during the week and vacuums this church. Do you know what it's like to vacuum a 35,000 square foot living room? Do you know what it's like to arrange 2,800 chairs? What about the windows? They clean them and we don't even see their faces. I thank God for them. And everyone from that beautiful giving all the way to the person who's traveling so much in this world to run his business that his heart is here, but he can't make it, but he makes sure that he emails or wires his tithing check because his heart is here. From one end to the other. From sweat with the hand to financial giving. Jesus said it's all of it. And then there's the law of worship. Look at verse 38. In good measure, it's going to be returned to you. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your bosom. In other words, church, listen. God will not allow you to bless him more than he blesses you. Will we get that in our head? I tell you something right now. That is so true. Let me put it this way. You know it's true. With what you've given to God, has he been more generous than what you've given to him? Well, I don't know, Pastor. Let me think. I got to think about that. Gee, what on earth have you given to God that has earned God's obligation to give you oxygen? Well, I did give $100 last month. Oh, so God's obliged to give you air now, is he? Well, you know, I did help that lady across the street the other day. So what? Well, I think God now should, like, you know, give me a raise. Are you crazy? God always blesses us more, does he not? Have we become so materialistic that we have forgotten God's goodness to us? The law of worship is, I bless God with that, listen, with what he's given me. He gave it to me. He's just seeing if my heart is willing to give it back to him. He says the same measure to the degree that you've held to others, how you've treated others that are in need. Listen, that's how God says, I'll take care of you. Now I want to stop and say, wait a minute, how benevolent, how generous have I been to those around me? Church, this is for every one of us who are Christians right now. Please, you can't say, well, Pastor, that's for you, not for me. It's for us who are Christians. How generous have I been to other people? That's what God's looking at. How much have I given to my church that the gospel can go to the world? Or we can feed the homeless? Or make sure the kids are taken care of for VBS or for camp? Or you see? Matthew 6:24, the Bible says, in Matthew 6:24, no one, Jesus said, can serve two masters. You can't serve two masters. It's funny. He didn't say three. He didn't say five. He says, you can't serve two masters. For either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You can't serve God and money, Jesus said. It's either, according to Jesus Christ, it's either all about God or it's all about money in our lives. There's not a third option. It's not about God and what, bananas? No. It's not about God and nothing else. Money. Isn't that weird? And as soon as I mention the word money, you get nervous. Now, you of all people have no business getting nervous, because when we bought this dirt, did we ask you for money? Not a penny. When we built these buildings, did we have a thermometer in the hallway? Oh, give, 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 come on. Oh, look at the thermometer. Look. Oh, we're almost up there. Give. You didn't even know it. The next thing you knew, you drove by and there's a tractor out here. Did we ever ask? No. How about this? How many of you have been to an Easter service at this church out in the parking lot? Did we ask for money at Easter? Have we ever asked for money at Easter? What about a Christmas service? Do we ever ask for money at a Christmas service? No. You want to know why? Because I know those 2 days are the days that non-believers go to church. Oh, come on, we got to go. It's tradition. It's tough enough just for you to get them here. I am not going to give them the satisfaction of saying, well, they just want my money. We don't want your money. You think God needs your money? My friend, the truth is you and I need to part with our money because it messes us up. Oh, yeah, and where do we give it? To God. And there's ways to do that. If Warren Buffett can give $44 billion to Bill Gates, then I can give a buck to God. Here's the thing. It's either God I'm concerned about or money. Which one is it? It's either, what takes up the bulk of my attention? Is it money or is it God? Which is it? That is your God. And that will be the God who rescues you in the end of your life. Listen, I made this up myself, this next quote. If God is your master, you will use money for his glory. Because you're not going to get rid of money. God will see to it that there's the challenge always. Today, it's God and money. In the Garden of Eden, money didn't matter, but it was a tree. It's either God or the tree. Remember that? It's always something. Choose you today whom you'll serve. So, if God is your master, you'll use money for his glory. If money is your master, you will use God to your own glory. See, what do you mean? The Bible says in 1 Timothy that there are those who, under a cloak of religion, will preach messages, who think that gain is godliness and whose God is their belly. That they think preaching is a way to get rich. Paul wrote that 2,000 years ago. Can you not turn on the TV and watch that happen in your own living room? Those guys are still around, and they're going to be increasing, by the way. Which one is more important to you? That's your master. Which one do you think about the most? That's your master. Which one is in your conversation the most? That's your master. Those are challenging things. You see, those who have followed Jesus have been liberated from being selfish. How can I help? How can I serve? Still to this day, thank God, still to this day, the United States is the most financially benevolent nation in the world. I wonder, you think about those billions of dollars that went to Katrina and billions of dollars that went to the tsunami. And how much of that came from true believers in the world. I bet it was a great amount, don't you think? A lot, huh? I bet you. But we're to examine our own lives in these areas. It's very important. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, but this I say to you, Paul speaks, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and those who sow bountifully will reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his own heart, not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The word in the Greek is hilarity. When we give, we're supposed to be all happy about it. Hey, man, I'm giving in worship. I'm giving in my service to God. When's the plate coming? Hoo-hoo, yippee, you know, when's it coming? You guys, it has nothing to do with what God needs. Hey, he needs nothing. It's all to check and to keep my heart dependent upon God, not my checkbook balance. And you see, if my checkbook fell out of my wallet, fell out of my pocket, if our checkbooks were laid out on the ground here and people picked them up, they could thumb through them and determine where our affections lie. Our checkbooks speak about our devotion. Do you tithe? Say, I don't need a tithe. Okay, that's between you and God. And whatever you do, give with a good heart. But just remember this, Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, says the Lord. In what way, you asked, have we robbed you, God? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, says the Lord, and this entire nation. Bring the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house for everyone. Try me now and know this, says the Lord of hosts. For if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out on you such a blessing that you will not have enough room to contain it. Isn't that what Jesus just said? You put God first. God will never be indebted to you. God will bless you back and you won't even be able to put it in your pocket. How many people really, truly believe that? And yet it should be one of the most easy things to believe because of God's generosity toward us. It's amazing. Number two, and we're going to end on the second point, and we'll pick it up next week. But number two, second point together, those who follow Jesus can see clearly. Those who are following Jesus can see clearly now. Jesus speaks this parable, And that's the way, by the way, of seeing clearly. They can see clearly. Listen, this way, they can see the way of Christ. When Jesus speaks a parable, this means he unlocks truth to them. Now watch this. We don't need to belabor that. Those who follow Jesus can now see clearly. How is that? They know the way of eternal life. When Jesus speaks a parable is a type of teaching. He says it's like this, and he gives it. Those of you who are being moved by God, you get it. Yeah, man, you say things like this in your head. That makes sense. Huh, funny that. Yeah, I've seen that happen. Hey, that's real. Well, that's true. I know we take that casually, but God's speaking to us. Yeah, that's right. Listen, we know the way. We see the way. But we'll end here. Those who follow Jesus can see clearly now. They can clearly see where not to go, or the opposite way. Look at verse 39. Can the blind lead the blind? Now, before you jump to an answer, you need to be careful. Okay, listen. Can the blind lead the blind? Jesus speaking spiritually. Can the blind lead the blind to heaven? No. He's saying it's impossible. Can the blind lead the blind? I say yes when it comes to aberrant or false belief. You say, what do you mean? I thought Jesus just said, can the blind lead the blind? No, Jesus says, can the blind lead the blind? If the blind leads the blind, they'll both fall into a ditch. It's happening every day, ladies and gentlemen. It's happening every day. The blind is they are leading the blind. You know what it's called? Cults. False religions. Blind leading the blind. Knocking on your door, inviting you to follow them. Where are you going? Well, we're not exactly sure, but come with us. Why should I? Well, everybody before us for the last 150 years or 200 years have been doing it. Come and follow me. Where? To this, to that, to the other. Gee, how's that match up with the Bible? Oh, we'll tell you how to understand the Bible. What? The blind are leading the blind every day. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes to the Father but through me. And yet there are people knocking on your door that say, well, that's true, but watch out for those buts. They get you in trouble. Yeah, but, or how about, be very careful. The blind do lead the blind. And if we don't have the Bible in our veins, we'll be led astray. Know the book. Read your Bible. Understand it. No, you see, the Bible says in John 16:13, when the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak to you and he will tell you things to come. And he will glorify me, Jesus, for he will take of what is mine and he will declare it to you. The master journeyman communicating to us, the apprentice, that we might get up from these seats and make a difference in the world.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Those Who Follow Jesus, Part 1. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, you know, the new year is right around the corner, and we're really excited to have you join us in going through the one-year Bible in 2023. Doesn't that sound great? Let's nourish our spiritual growth together as we divide God's Word into daily readings in as little as 15 minutes a day. As a church family, we'll explore the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Psalms, the Proverbs. And don't worry if you miss a day or two or three or even a week for that matter. Just begin again on the current day so that we're all on the same page. Begin this incredible journey with us by ordering the one-year Bible. We saw many awesome and challenging things happen in 2022, didn't we? God moved in miraculous ways, and we can look forward to the new year as we look to the Scripture together in an unforgettable devotional experience.
Just know this, that when you sit down to your cup of coffee or your lunch or your dinner, and you open it up, just know that there are literally tens of thousands of believers that have joined you in that discovery that day. It's absolutely awesome.
The one-year Bible is available for purchase at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.